just dying to say chili today, hot tamale.
I'll say that. Wait, don't say it yet. Wait till after the boo-ba boo-ba song.
Hello, everyone.
Do it now. This would be great.
I heard Ryan Burrow say chili today, and every time I hear that, I want to say chili today, hot tamale.
Yeah, you're supposed to. We've been told you're supposed to say that.
I still find that funny. That's, is that wrong of
no,
me?
No, it's classic.
You know what today is, though? Can I just say this?
Thursday.
It's Thursday, uh-huh. And it's the third annual Plano Bologna Sandwich Day.
Oh, yeah?
You know what that means?
No.
Plano Bologna Sandwich Day. It's taking place this afternoon in Plano, Bologna,
yeah.
And Sandwich.
Oh.
So Plano Bologna Sandwich Day. It's the third annual.
Wow.
Festivities start at 4, Bill.
I don't know that I can make it today, Wendy. Unfortunately, it's not a week or a month-long celebration. It's just the one day. It's not fair.
Come on, Plano Bologna Sandwich Day.
Are those communities neighboring each other? They're not, right? They're spread out.
Well,
they are.
It says, I don't know. I'm not familiar with that area.
Like, you know how Romeoville and Joliet are next to each other by design?
Why?
Romeo and Juliet.
Well, that's a stretch.
That's what they were going for, though.
Who? No, they weren't.
Whoever named it.
That was Louis Joliet. That's what it was named after.
Well, Joliet was there first, but when they named Romeoville, they did it as a compliment to Joliet.
Said who?
Oh, it's true. You don't know that?
I think that's
true.
Urban legend.
That Romeoville and Joliet are right next to each other? You think it's a coincidence?
Why didn't they just name it Romeo, then?
Because that'd be too much. People, that'd be so, that would just be hitting you over the head with it. They masked it a little bit.
I really don't believe that.
You don't
at
believe
all.
That? Oh, I think that's true.
I like to believe it. It sounds really interesting.
Yeah.
But this is better. Plano Bologna Sandwich Day, and starting at 4 and going till 7 p.m. So you only have 3 hours to get over there.
Not enough time.
At the corner of Route 34 and Terra Street, between Plano and Sandwich, attendees will bring donations of non-perishable or canned goods to be collected and delivered by the Sandwich Lions Club for distribution to each community food pantries serving Plano and Sandwich. That's pretty good.
Sure.
Although, where's Bologna, Illinois? And does Joe live there?
It's the first I'm hearing of it. I didn't know such a place existed. Except in my fantasies, in my dreams. I always imagined it there, but not in real life.
Oh, I never heard of the Romeoville.
No?
Some 30 miles southwest of Chicago was first called Romeo when nearby Joliet was still called Juliet. I don't believe that.
It's on the internet. It's true. It's got to be true.
At this time, the settlement was a twin and rival community of Juliet. Unlike the romantic pair of Shakespeare's era, this was founded in the 1830s. The area was home to abundant farmlands and stone quarries.
Just like in the play.
A post office was established in Romeo on October 29th, 1833.
Oh.
In 1845, the city of Juliet's name was changed to Joliet to honor the famous explorer Louis Joliet.
Mm-hmm.
When this happened, Romeo acknowledged the busted romance by becoming Romeoville. There is no way this is true.
Mm-hmm. It is true.
I don't believe it.
What's the website?
LegendsOfAmerica.com.
You think LegendsOfAmerica.com is going to lie?
They've
got a reputation to uphold.
This is WBEZ.
No, this is WGN. Look at the microphone.
No, I mean... Excuse me,
Bless you.
A little sneeze.
Are you allergic to fun?
My kids would say that. You are just no fun. A history
it's
of
true.
This...
They named it that on purpose so that it would be adorable.
I don't believe it. Historians, both past and present, a linguistics professor and a Shakespeare expert considered the relationship between the original town names. What we know, back in the 1830s, Joliet was founded as Juliet.
Yes.
And Romeoville was founded as Romeo. All right.
And I'll then give they you changed credit. Them to Capulet and Montague for a little while, just for a few days. And no one could spell them, so they switched them back.
You can even see names on old maps of the area, which is cute and all, considering they bear an obvious resemblance to Bill Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet. Yes. There is, however, no solid documentation, no municipal meeting minutes, nor history accounted for by town founders. So there are some worthy speculations.
Yeah.
But I don't know if this is true.
Oh, they wouldn't put it in the website. Why would they do that? To dupe us?
We're always duped.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, if someone knows, there's
it's
a new
like
number.
It's like Champaign and Urbana being right next to each other. You think that's by accident? Actually, Champaign should be next to Bourbonnais because they're both alcoholic-sounding names. Not alcoholic, like I've drank too much of it, but have alcohol in them.
What's Bourbonnais?
Bourbon.
Oh, yeah. Doy. God, I haven't said that since I was like a teenager. Doy.
More adults should say that. If you're an adult listening.
Especially at a business meeting, if you make a mistake.
Right.
Doy.
Look at the third quarter expenditures. Doy.
Why did it duh become doy?
Because it's more pronounced. It's like duh kind of sells it, but doy is, that's a, now you got something.
That's dumb.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Well, enjoy your plain old bologna sandwich day.
Yes, but only for one day only.
Mm-hmm.
Wendy, a couple of quick texts. These had to do with what we were talking about on the regular part of the show about irrational fears. So several people were listing their irrational fears. A couple of people mentioned fears of bridges, and I've heard this.
I am.
Are you afraid of
yes.
bridges?
Yes. When we're driving to Peoria, there's this really long bridge.
Oh, not that kind of bridge. They're afraid of Beau Bridges.
I'm a little afraid of him, too. I don't know if it's in Chillicothe. It's somewhere. I think it's in Henry, Illinois.
Yeah.
And there's this giant bridge that goes over the Illinois River, and I freak out every time we go over it on the way to my brother's in Peoria.
What is the fear
that
involving?
We're
going to
crash and drive off the side of it. Like, we're going to blow a tire.
Oh, interesting.
And we're going to go, because it's
end
really high.
Water.
That's too, and I did see the Golden Gate Bridge, and that kind of freaked me out. It was overwhelming in a good way and in a scary way.
Yeah, I could see that. I could understand
Because you
that.
Could really go off the side of it, and that freaks me out.
Have you ever been to the Florida Keys?
No, but I want to go just to go on those bridges.
There are very long bridges. I think one of them is called Mile Long Bridge, but it's way more than a mile. I'd call it way more than a mile-long bridge. I don't know why they wouldn't play off of that. But you can see every once in a while, because when I was a kid, we'd go there, you know, kind of often. You could see people very tentatively driving on those bridges. Because they are, as the name implies, they're very, very long. And there's not a lot of give space between
the lanes
you and
are
the
narrow.
Water. And one time in California, I'm trying to remember the name of... Mount Baldy is in California, right? So to go there, you have to go up. Remember in movies, you used to see this in movies a lot about California. You would ride on this windy road that was on mountains,
mm-hmm.
right?
And
so
it would spiral
it would
its
always
way
spiral
up.
Its way up.
Yeah.
So you have to get to the top of this, you have to take that road both up and down. And there are times where you look off the side and you go, boy, one wrong move. If I just move the wheel a little bit this way, my car's going to go way, way, way down this mountain.
Yeah.
It's very scary. So I was okay with driving on it, but you could see if somebody has to drive on it and they're not good with that kind of space, that's a long, hard drive.
Is it Glendora Mountain Road?
Yes. It is Glendora Mountain Road.
Yeah. Yep.
Here's another text that I find interesting, but it doesn't end well. My grandmother had a fear of dying in a fire. In 1985, she was burned alive in a fire.
God. Jeez.
Isn't that something? To actually perish from what your biggest fear is. Well, that's the basis of every fear, is that whatever you're afraid of is going to take you. It's going to consume you. But then to have it happen... That's bad.
Yeah, but then you're dead, so it doesn't matter. Right. You won't be afraid of it anymore. Because I'm deathly afraid of tornadoes.
Yeah.
I know it's normal to be somewhat afraid of tornadoes because
sure.
of the devastation.
Right.
But ever since I've been a little kid, just really freak out.
Do you think you're going to die in a tornado, though?
Well, I think I could.
Yeah. But your chances of it are very, very slim.
Well, why do you say that?
Because you're not,
I've never been in one.
You're not near enough. You're not in a tornado zone.
Tornado zones can happen anywhere now. Remember there was one in the middle of New York? That typically doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Mother Nature's very angry with us. Yeah. We drove through a tornado on our way to my first trip to Disney after the summer my dad died. So there was like a million reasons why this was going to be a bad trip.
Mm-hmm.
But we drove through the Smoky Mountains on the way to Florida, and it was just dumping down buckets of rain. My cousin Susie was driving in her cool orange Javelin with the black racing stripes. And she's a great driver, and she had to pull over because you truly could not see, and you're on a mountain road, much like the one on the way to Mount Baldy.
Mm-hmm.
So she pulled over, and then weather reports, as we got to the hotel, we watched the news that night, and they said that a tornado had gone, you know, near the area where we were.
Yes.
So that's really the only experience. One time I saw a funnel cloud over our neighbor's house. It didn't touch the ground, so it didn't become a tornado, but it was definitely a funnel cloud.
Right.
So no real reason why. I have a total irrational fear of tornadoes.
You have mentioned recently that you're afraid of horses, but
not that
it's
afraid.
It's not
really
a paralyzing fear.
No. I sat on one
right
at my horse party, my sister's horse party.
Your heart didn't beat faster.
No.
You didn't break out into a sweat. You didn't think trampled by the horse.
No. They're big. They're kind of scary to me to ride, that's
right.
All. Because if you fall off, you're going to break something.
Yeah.
Either your coccyx.
Yep.
Or your arm.
Yep. I would imagine Christopher Reeve's story didn't help you.
Oh, yeah.
Right? That's got to be.
Yeah.
That's devastating. Here's an interesting one. I'm 22 years old, and I'm terrified of the dark. I'm not afraid of being outside at night. It's just dark rooms or dark spaces. What makes it so terrifying is not knowing what could be lurking inside the dark.
I get that. I don't like dark water. I've brought that up before. That's an irrational fear of mine.
And by dark water, you mean being in the water when it's dark outside? What do you mean by that?
I mean, like, I wouldn't go in the ocean at night. And I wouldn't, like, if I was at a hotel pool and they didn't have the lights on, I wouldn't go in the water.
Mm.
You just don't know what's lurking.
Even in a pool?
Yeah, because it's dark. You can't, what if something's in there?
Like what? What would be the worst thing that could be in there to scare you?
The creature from the Black Lagoon.
In a pool? In a hotel pool?
He got sick of the lagoon. Wanted a little change.
All right. I could see that, I guess.
What was that movie with the creature?
The Shape of Water?
Yeah. I mean, that you just don't go, you don't know what's lurking in the bottom of dark water, especially in the ocean.
Right.
A big, you know,
right,
electric eel could come eat your heel.
Right.
Well, that's where it would bite you,
that's
probably.
Probably. An electric eel would. I'm afraid of a Kevin Hart film festival.
I don't think you'll
like
ever have to worry
about
that.
Six back-to-back movies with Kevin Hart, and I have to sit through all six of them. That's been an ongoing fear of mine. Even before he was popular, I was afraid of that.
Again, you don't have to worry about that. And I also was telling you about like going to concerts sometimes. I went to see The Who, and that was outdoors in Tinley Park. So
yes,
that was okay. Even though it was really crowded, there was still like a lot of ceiling room because even though we were in the pavilion, it was open air. Went to the Rosemont Theater to see Deep Purple. That was okay because, again, a high ceiling. But I don't think I could go to the Riviera or the Aragon or anywhere now because it's just packed to pack.
Too tight?
Yeah, there's just too many people and you can't breathe. And I get a little like that now at shows.
How would you be on a Japanese subway? Am I the first person to ask you that today?
Yes.
I'm proud of that.
Is it a foot long?
No. You know how I'm sure you've seen this, that there's parts of Asia where it's so congested, there's so many people getting on and off the trains, that they have people with these sticks that they prod you with to get you on and off the trains. You ever seen this? Yeah.
I guess I've seen it. I didn't think it was real.
It's real. And inside the trains, I've only seen this in pictures. I've never been there. You have no space at all. You have zero space. You're like a sardine in there. you know, just waiting for the next door to open. So hopefully some people will get out and you can get some breathing space. But it's so congested and so jam-packed, I don't think you'd last there.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
That would be too much. How would you be in an enclosed, like, all right, so the World Series is going now and it's in Houston and that's an indoor stadium. They have one in Milwaukee. There are others. Would you be able,
I can go to the United
Center.
That's
more spread out. Oh, yeah, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, I can go see a Hawks game.
It's just a venue that's more compact.
Yeah, it's just like general admission places.
Yeah.
I went to see Elvis Costello 30-some years ago.
You're afraid of Elvis Costello?
No, but he did three shows in a row at the Riviera, and it was really cold, and it's, you know, general admission. So we were waiting outside, and I was trying to be stylish with my, you know, spiked hair and my big man's blazer jacket with a mini skirt and leggings. That was just, how I dressed in the 80s.
Pictures at WGNradio.com.
No, they're not, thankfully.
They're not
there. I don't have many. Maybe it was the 90s. Yeah. Anyway, so we waited out there, and it was really freezing cold, okay? So you're shivering, and then you finally get in the venue, and there are, like, wall-to-wall people. No one has a seat, so you're just kind of in there like sardines, and I fainted.
Did you really?
Yeah, very quickly, and the guy I was with pretty much got me to a couch.
Yes.
And, you know, the security people are like, "Are you okay?" I'm like, "Yeah, I just, you know, was... I don't. I just got too overheated.
Yeah.
I hadn't even had a drink at that point.
Man.
So maybe that's why I'm afraid of it now, because I think that's going to happen again. But that was 30 years ago, and it's never happened again. But I just felt like I couldn't move.
Right.
Like, you know, and everybody kind of pushes forward as a group. I just, it's too crowded. I need like seating now.
Yeah. I wish Elvis Costello had helped you. That would have been
a great story.
It's too late now, but that would have been so cool if he would have helped you out.
I met him years later when we were at Q101.
Yeah.
There was an outdoor show. I think one of the last shows at Poplar Creek before it closed.
And recently, you interviewed him 2 years ago, didn't you?
Yes, with Dave Plyer. It was awesome.
And he writes the book every day. Am I hearing this right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Every day he writes the book.
That's what I'm hearing. All right, we'll take a break, get you some news, and then there's a lot more show. So stay here. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Thanks, Kim. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. That's Kim Gordon. You just heard her do the news. Kim, do you have any irrational fears? Is there anything you're afraid of? It doesn't make sense. Like what?
Flying.
Are you afraid to fly? Are you really?
I do it, but I don't love it.
I've gotten over that. I didn't like it very much. My sister was... All right, let me backtrack. When I was a sophomore in high school, I had three friends who died in a private plane crash.
That's scary.
I had never flown before.
Yeah.
So when the first time I flew after that on a commercial airliner, I still was freaked out. My sister, in turn, I think after seeing my reaction to all that, had a real fear of flying and had business trips she had to go on, and she was just really having a difficult time flying. So she went to some phobia specialist and got through
it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good to hear.
That is good to hear. I do it. I don't love it. Whenever my kids sit next to me in an airplane and there's a little turbulence, they immediately take my hand.
Oh, that's so nice of them.
Oh, no, not because they're like trying to comfort me, because they want to see how bad my palms are sweating
and
laughing.
Oh, that's not nice of them.
Yeah.
What's wrong with them? Why would they do that to you?
Yeah.
That's horrible.
I do get nervous.
My friend John, when I was doing stand-up, I had a friend John, and he was so afraid to fly that the only way he could do it, there were two things. Number one, he was not a drinker, but he would ply himself with alcohol in, you know, a bar area of the airport, or he just couldn't do it. And he was not a drinker. The other thing he told me once that I found very interesting is he believed that for a plane to get from point A to point B, to successfully take off in one city and land in the other city, it took the concentration of everybody on the plane who had to truly believe that this could happen. He said if one person on the plane didn't believe it, they were doomed.
See, I refuse to drink because I think that I'm going to be flying the plane. Like,
you need your wits about you.
I have to be in total control.
Right.
Like, what am I going to do?
Right.
But I have to be in total control. And I have to sit on a window because I have to watch everything going on.
Make sure everything's okay near the plane.
Yes.
Yep.
And...
Here's a text for you, Wendy. 630 says, "Wendy, I also get nervous with tornado warnings. Remember when WGN-TV said that they would announce a weather bulletin and they would have somebody sign the announcement?"
Oh.
I kind of remember that.
I kind of do, too.
Yeah. But just the weather bulletin itself, that part doesn't scare you, does it?
It's, well, yeah, if I hear the sirens go off, yeah.
I used to get a lot more concerned than I do now about it.
Oh, really?
And I probably should be more concerned since I'm on the 23rd.
Oh, yeah, you're in a high rise. And, you know, I know everybody says, yeah, but there's not going to be a tornado in the city.
Oh,
Tom Skilling said
that's a myth.
Totally not true.
Yes, that is a total
myth. Well, what city just had a tornado a week
ago? Dallas.
Dallas did, right. Right.
In the middle of the football game.
Yep.
And I don't think their warning signals went off. I think a lot of people were really caught off guard.
Right.
And how could that be? Because now the way they track weather, we get forecasts like a day in advance saying tomorrow there may be a tornado.
You had these microbursts or things just pop up out of the clear blue. Because didn't that happen just recently? I believe it was earlier this year in Waukegan. I remember something like that happening.
Yeah.
And nobody really got warning about it, and it just...
In fact, they didn't really call it a tornado till the next day.
Right, yeah.
Right. 414 says, now this is in reference, for those of you just joining us, and Kim, I don't know that you heard this part. Several people had said that they have a fear of bridges, that just being on a bridge, you know, you're over water, that's too much for them. So somebody asked this question, Wendy, that maybe you can answer. How many bridges are on that road to Hana in Maui? I've taken that course. I know
you have too.
As well. There's a bunch of really small ones.
Yeah.
There's no big long span of bridge.
That's mainly a mountain thing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Does it say specifically? I don't remember bridges more than...
There's a couple of little ones that just go over...
Rinky-dinky ones.
Yeah,
when
nothing
you go
bad.
Up to the volcano and come down.
Yeah.
Well, that's Haleakala.
Yeah.
The road to Hana are the seven sacred pools, I believe.
I can't remember. It's been a while
since it's beautiful there.
Oh, gorgeous.
Is it worth it, though? I did it.
Yeah.
When it was over, I'm like, I would have rather spent the day at the pool.
You said that about the Grand Canyon, too. And you know what?
It's
despite that, I still want to go see it.
You're going to be disappointed.
I just want to see it to say I see it, saw it,
witnessed it. You'll get this feeling of, boy, I really was expecting more. It's amazing.
No, I won't.
But it's just a big hole is all it is.
I get excited when you are flying over Arizona and you can actually see it.
Yeah.
I'm awestruck by it.
Yeah.
So imagine if I'm standing there.
Right.
You don't appreciate the good things in life.
Is it the vacation movie where the family just looks at it
and
they just nod and go, yeah, there it is. And then you move on.
I kind of want to go to Mount Rushmore, too, but
I do too.
Feel like I might be a little disappointed there, too.
It's tiny, isn't it?
I don't know.
Everyone says it's smaller than you've envisioned.
Because I was disappointed when I saw the Mona Lisa.
Yeah.
I thought she was going to be a lot bigger than
that's
she
tiny,
was.
Too.
Yeah.
What's all these little things?
What's tiny?
The world used to be smaller. It's gotten a lot bigger lately.
We do have a weight problem.
Yeah, well, it's
said
true.
Said Chris Farley.
The Romeoville, this is from a trusted listener in Through and Two. The Romeoville Juliet thing is 100% true. Jeffrey Bear from Channel 11 had it on one of his specials.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Whatever.
Jeffrey Bear's no liar, Wendy. Did you call Jeffrey Bear a liar?
No.
I hope you did.
All these phobias, by the way, what's hot and what's cold, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Man.
Isn't it strange that somebody would just have one of these? Because, and I'm guilty of this myself with the needles. You know it's ridiculous, but there's nothing you can do about it. It's just in you.
Yeah.
But some people, like if they do have fear of getting trapped in a place, like the woman who called earlier about getting trapped in a bathroom, sometimes that might prevent you from going out.
I bet it does.
I'm
sure of it.
And that falls under the umbrella of agoraphobia. So if you don't like crowds and stuff, there are people that truly don't go out and aren't social because they really have a fear of that.
I do think, though, you know, anxiety medications and things have come
helped.
A lot,
yeah.
Right.
Come a long way to help people, but I know there's a lot of people who still really struggle.
Wendy used to have agoraphobia, which is fear of fluffy sweaters.
I still do.
I do have that. I actually returned a sweater the other day because there's just something about that fur flying around.
Scary.
I am so with you. I wear a lot of eye makeup, so it gets caught in your mascara. It is the world's worst.
It
just
your eyes. Yes. I can't take it.
I'm with you. I do have agoraphobia.
And when I wore contacts, I never could even try one on because it would come underneath your contacts.
Yeah.
Oh, it's awful.
Agoraphobia.
That should be a thing.
Add that to my list.
Put that on your list. When I was a kid, I had this this Herman Munster puppet that my dad got for me.
Did you have a Lily too?
No, I did not have the Lily one. I've seen that one, but the Herman Munster puppet was really cool. It was about, I don't know, 11 inches high, and it had his head, Herman Munster's head, elongated, very dark green.
Yeah, I remember this.
You could make the hands go out. And it scared the daylights out of me. Like, I still remember he got it for me because I was sick. So to cheer me up, I was napping, and he tapped me on the shoulder, and then the Herman Munster puppet was right in front of my face.
Your dad did this?
Yeah. And it scared me like crazy. But then, as I got older, I had a younger cousin who was even more afraid of it than I was. So I would always bring it. If we'd go to visit my cousin's family, I'd always bring it.
You're
and hide
so
it in
mean.
His room. Yeah, that was really mean.
I'm afraid of haunted houses.
Are you?
And scary movies.
But you know they're not
I
haunted.
Don't like them.
I know.
I'm not afraid of them.
And I'll tell you
them.
Why. Is because my grandfather and my dad did something very similar. They used to, like when we were little kids and we'd watch TV on the couch, they would go outside and then just put pantyhose on their head and then like pop up in the window and scare us to death. And then one time my grandfather was in a haunted house and I wouldn't even go in, and he thought he was going to be funny and like kind of sneak below the guy who was going to scare him. So when the guy popped out, he popped up at the guy and scared him, and he was booted from the haunted house. But they used to do all that kind of stuff to me when I was a little kid.
And you hated it.
I hated it. It would just scare me to death. And so now I can't.
It stays with you to this
day. Yeah, it stays with you. The only haunted house I like is in Disney World.
Hmm. Oh, the Haunted Mansion.
And I still start to sweat when the room stretches a little.
Yeah, that one freaks me out.
Yeah. Mm.
And that's part of my agoraphobia, too, because they put you in like sardines in that room.
Yeah.
I need
you need
if I
more
can't
space.
Like let my armpits air out, then I really have
and
an
when
issue.
It, when it goes completely dark in there.
Yes.
And I know it's gonna go completely dark. I know everything that's gonna
and
happen.
It's just for
and
2 seconds.
I know, but I still
I have to hold hands of whoever's next
me
to me.
Too.
My family, not strangers.
Excuse me, madam. Can you please not hold my hand during this portion of the ride?
Dylan mainly, my youngest, will like kind of like put his arm out so I can put mine in his. He holds on to me with that darkness. But yeah, I mean, think about it. If you can't stretch it out so you can lift your armpits up, then you're too close to somebody.
You're
close. Right.
Yeah, you're too close.
Not that I have a sweating problem, but I just that if I can't lift my arms all the way up, I don't know, maybe I'm part chicken. It just makes me crazy.
You should twirl your like once you establish your place in there, you just twirl your arms around so no one gets too close to you.
That would not be good.
There'd be a lot of walkie-talkies.
Put yourself like you're in traction, then nobody will come near you.
Right. This lady needs a lot of space.
Yeah, I'll just stand there with my arms up. I have to lift my arms.
So you can't
or
watch.
I feel trapped.
Can you guys watch a scary, like if you're home alone and you know no one's coming home anytime soon.
Would never even consider
you can't
it.
Even think about watching
no.
a scary movie.
I do. I did. Yeah. I watched that Stephen King's Tall Grass by myself.
You were okay.
I think people were home, but they weren't like in my general vicinity.
Yeah, no, I don't even.
It was fine.
Yeah. October's not a good month for me because all
because
there's on
that?
TV is scary movies and I don't like to watch them.
Oh. I like them better when there's that little extra element of I'm home alone and no one's.
Oh, me. Oh, no.
Like if Terry's visiting Kylie in New York or Reese is going with her and I know it's just going to be me for a couple of days, I load up on the horror movies. I love it then because it's scarier somehow.
It is. Yeah.
You're so brave, Bill.
I guess I am. Can we talk about the TV reporter who got fired for being a jerk?
Yes. Please do.
Do you know the story, Kim?
Maybe.
All right. They're having the auto show, and does it say what city
this
is in? It's KMAX, but they don't say the city for some reason.
So it's south of the Mississippi.
Yeah. It's in California, but they don't say what's...
I was going to say there's a KMOX.
That's in St. Louis.
Okay.
Right? All right. So here's the story. They've got this guy, Angel Cardenas, whose job it is. He's like, who would you equate him with here? He's like Marcus Leshock.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
Right? Isn't he there, Marcus Leshock?
Sacramento.
All right. So they send their reporter, Angel Cardenas, to this car show. And as we see here sometimes on our own Channel 9, the car show hasn't started yet. He's there in the morning doing the morning feed, but there's no crowd there. There's none of the people who work at the car show.
Right.
So he decides he's got 4 minutes to fill. He's going to be wacky, and he starts climbing on the cars. He's
idiot.
Like, You know, these are really expensive cars. Some of them, are, I can't even imagine how expensive they are because they're old classic cars that they've restored for this car show. So he climbs onto the windshield, I'm sorry, onto the front, hood. The hood of the car. Thank you, Wendy. And he just kind of splays himself out.
Like
to,
the
hey,
Fabulous
look...
Baker Boys kind of pose. Like, what a goof.
Yeah.
So even his, even the anchors of the news are like, I'm not positive that's a good idea. At some point, he wants to sit in a car instead of go out in the hood. So he opens the door to the car, and he opens it right up into another car. And even he goes, uh-oh, and he's looking for dents or scratches or anything. I don't see any scratches. So this goes on for like 4 minutes. Well, he's been fired.
So no, not good day, Sacramento.
Bad day, Sacramento.
Yeah.
Bye-bye, Sacramento.
While promoting the Sacramento International Auto Show on a local program called Good Morning Sacramento, I don't know how they came up with the name, Kim, but they did.
So creative.
Cardenas hopped onto the trunk of a classic yellow Ford Thunderbird before opening the door of a pink Thunderbird into an adjacent car. All of this on the air. The reason it says here on MSN is lost on us. The Sacramento show also features cars that are old and new, which is why Cardenas was able to make himself at home in the cars of various ages. I feel like a kid in a candy store without the owners because you can do anything, Cardenas said during a segment, which ends with Cardenas ducking under a guardrail intended to keep admirers a few feet back from the 2020 Ford Explorer. He, at some point on this one, on the last one, he's on this 2020 Ford Explorer and he's climbing on it. And you can hear the security guard referencing him. You got to stay out of there. You can't be on that. So he kind of sheepishly gets off the car. But he is now without work.
I'm surprised because usually, you know, when I've gone to cover those kind of things, you usually have handlers with you. You know, people that say, you can go here, you can do this, you can't do this.
Yes.
I'm surprised that nobody did that. Yeah.
There was somebody there at some point during the four-minute segment. There was somebody there from Ford whose job it was to kind of show him what are the new cars, what are the classic cars and stuff. And she said, I'll just look the other way. She just goes, you know, do what you want to do. I'll just look the other way.
Wow.
But then the security guard quickly chased him off.
Did she get fired too?
I don't know if she got fired. I don't know if she did.
I don't believe that he had the gall to do that.
Oh, yeah.
I really don't.
Oh, he's real cocky about it. When you see him, he's very cocky about it.
It says it was a live segment. It was 4 minutes long. And he began the segment with Cardenas stumbling on the leadoff question from the anchors back in the studio about how many cars were on display.
Right.
And then things go quickly downhill from there. He claimed, or he said, no one is out here to tell me which car I can't go in because some of these are off limits. So I'm just going to live on the wild side. And that's when he just...
Yeah.
You know you can't. He knew he was going to get fired, didn't he?
I don't think he knew he was going to get fired. I thought he was under the belief that I'm just a crazy reporter doing a story. I can get away with a little bit more.
Yeah.
But it's funny because...
Did he actually do real damage?
You don't see any damage.
Okay.
But, you know, their job, security's job there, is to not let this sort of thing happen.
Right.
So I guess, you know... They contact his bosses and say, we can't have this.
Right.
I'm a little surprised they fired him over this. This is the kind of thing that usually you just get a little discipline and
maybe
you move
on. Maybe this wasn't his first time.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
And I guess viewers were the ones that started saying they were not amused. They flooded the station and its social media accounts with complaints.
Oh, wow.
The station has since removed the video of the segment from its website. the auto show itself said it received notice on Monday that Cardenas had been sacked and his bio no longer appears on the show's website.
Wow.
But yeah, it's funny though that the viewers...
Even they said, this guy's too much.
Get this guy out of here. You just know better than that. Listen, I know when I go, we've gone to the auto, I've only gone like maybe four times in my whole life,
mm-hmm.
and you know not to touch these things.
Right.
Don't
usually
you?
There's velvet ropes
right.
and all those kind of things set up around them. You know,
And signs that say do not touch
right.
or do not sit in.
Angel.
Right. Do not touch the glass.
right.
Anything.
Right.
I mean, the Jeep exhibit, there are some where like here's the key, it would say like interactive or something.
Yeah.
But 9 out of 10 times you'd know not to touch something.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. No
where
more
does he go
card?
Now?
There, I know he's interviewing now for here. I saw him in the boss's office. So good luck, Angel Cardenas. We hope it happens. And then something else I wanted to point out to you, and it's very, very timely because of the teacher strike going on here in Chicago. This is a story that doesn't start in Chicago, but it certainly does ring some truth to what's going on here. There's a teacher in Maryland. Her name is Annie Demzik. And she put a post on her Facebook page talking about teaching and what it takes to be a teacher. It says here, she began the post by saying that we all, women and men, need to leave any abusive relationships that we're in. She says in her post, now think about how this correlates to what's going on with the teachers have been saying with the classroom sizes and how much stress is involved in trying to control a class of 35 or 40 kids. So here's what she says, Annie Demzik, a teacher that is from Maryland. She says, when someone hits you, screams at you, tells you that they're going to kill you, tells you that they're going to bring a gun and shoot you, steals from you, destroys your things, threatens your friends, curses at you, mocks you, makes fun of your physical appearance, we don't acknowledge that as a red flag. We give them no consequences. She's talking about the students. We allow it to continue without any regard to a teacher's well-being or their safety or their mental health. So she's saying if in real life, if you're in a relationship that contains any or all of those things, somebody says, hey, you got to get out of this. But if you're a teacher and you're experiencing those things, it's just another day at the office.
How can that be? How can people talk to a teacher like that without getting in trouble?
Right.
I mean,
are the adult in the room.
Right.
I understand you're the adult in the room, but at that point, I don't know, wouldn't you call down to the office or something and say, listen.
Did you say what grade she teaches? Does it say?
No, I don't think it says, Kim, because I was looking for that earlier and I couldn't find it. I know it's grade school, but it doesn't say which
grade. That's grade school, not high school?
No.
That's grade a sad school. State of...
Don't you remember, though, and I don't know what it was like in either of your schools, but I know at my school, there were a couple of kids that on an almost daily basis were exactly what this woman is writing about. There was one kid in particular I'll never forget. He was just, there were no limits to what he would or wouldn't do. Oh, yeah.
Did this kid have a problem, though? Because sometimes there were kids that were not very well behaved and they, you know... Asperger's and things were not diagnosed back then, and I think back and it's like some of these kids I think had some issues that were undetected.
I'm sure he had something like that. I'll never forget one day the teacher that we had in this class, so we were in fourth grade at the time, and the teacher that we had was kind of a smaller woman who just couldn't handle this kid anymore. He was just going nuts and she couldn't handle it.
And he was a big kid?
He was a bigger kid. He was one of the biggest kids. So she called, you know, we had the PA system, and she called for one of the priests. There was a priest that would come if we ever came to a situation like this and handle it. And the two of them, this kid and the priest, are chasing each other around the room. And at some point, as the priest is trying to control the kid, he kicks the priest as hard as he can in the leg. And we're all watching this like in total disbelief. Like this only happens in cartoons. This doesn't happen in real life.
And you don't kick a priest.
You never kick a priest.
Bad enough a teacher, but a priest.
You don't want to kick a priest. So our school had this policy where I don't remember anybody getting kicked out of school, expelled from school until that day. Then everything changed after that day. He got expelled from school, and then a few years later, there was another incident with another kid. He got expelled from school. So that was a game changer for everybody once they said, we got to put a stop to this. You just can't have a kid kicking a priest.
And, you know, that being a private school, they have the right to do it. I mean, for a while, I think public schools put up with a little more.
Oh,
just
without
a doubt. Because where else are these kids going to go?
Well, not a joke, but we would always say privately that if you would sometimes write a check to the school, if your kid was being a problem, you'd write a check to the school, the problem would magically go away.
I'd be out of money. As would a lot of parents.
But I kind of believe that because there were other kids that did things not as bad as this particular kid, but there were other things that you go, how is that kid ever going to show up in school
again?
But
I think you can get away with that more in a private school than you can in a public school.
Probably.
But yeah. I just don't understand how this teacher can be treated like that and nothing's happening.
Every day.
That's too bad.
Hits you, screams at you, tells you that they're going to kill you,
hits you right there.
They're going to bring a gun and shoot you, steals from you, destroys your things, threatens your friends, curses at you, mocks you, makes fun of your physical appearance. That must go on constantly.
Well, that can't continue.
No.
And if you're in...
And maybe it's just not the right profession for her.
Well,
But they would do it to anybody, probably.
You have to be so thick-skinned.
Yes, you do.
Did you ever have a teacher who just wept? I had two different teachers Never. At some point where they just couldn't take it anymore.
No.
One right in the middle of the class just started just crying uncontrollably.
No.
And you go, okay, it's gone too far now.
And then Never. What do you do?
Well,
was that a nun?
No.
Teaching you?
No, not that time. There was a different one. The other instance I'm talking about was a nun, but she left the room, but you could tell she was about to lose it. It was too much for her, you know.
I mean, both of my parents were teachers, and I can remember they would come home and have some stories or have a really bad day with some of their students, but I can't see either one of my
parents.
But
they would rebound from it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the teacher who cried, you could just see she was in so much deeper than she could handle, you know. And it's always, it's funny because it's never like the whole class against the teacher. It's always one kid or sometimes two kids, but that's enough. You know, because you're there to teach, not to be a police officer.
All right. Well, I need to find out more about this poor woman because she shouldn't be teaching anymore. And the upper echelons at that school should be
helping her out.
Right.
She went on to say she loves all her students. Did you read this part? Including the ones who might have mental health problems, emotional issues, or difficult family backgrounds. But love shouldn't mean experiencing intense anxiety and depression because of your job. And Kim, you're right. I mean,
it's just sometimes it's just not for everybody.
Right. And maybe you don't realize that until you're actually doing it. Right.
Yeah.
We must stop. Kim, thank you very much for hanging out.
We'll
say goodbye next. It's Bill and it's Wendy on WGN.
Good night.
I just realized Jared Payton was on, and he didn't even come close to punching me.
No, because he was on the phone.
That's why.
Tomorrow's Friday. We're going to do this again.
Tomorrow's Friday. All right.
Yes.
I'm in. All right. We'll do it tomorrow, like Wendy said. Join us then. That's it for today. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. Greatly appreciated. And can't wait till tomorrow. Bye, Wendy.
See ya, Bill.
Let every dream come true.
Midwest from Chicago. This is WGN at AM 720 on your radio and on smart devices anywhere just by saying play WGN Radio on TuneIn.
WGN Chicago.
A Nexstar Media Group station.